Dear brothers and sisters, St. Matthew places Jesus' teaching on mercy at the center of the Lord's teachings regarding the church. And it follows immediately after Christ's teaching on fraternal correction and the church's authority. Once again, we must be thankful to St. Peter, because it was his question that prompted the Lord's answer, his response. Peter was really asking, and we have to be clear about this, Peter was really asking whether there was a limit to forgiveness. In other words, if one has forgiven someone seven times, isn't that enough? And from one point of view, seven times is a lot. But Jesus says no. Jesus says no. Not seven times, but 77 times. The idea in the Hebrew means always. Followers of Christ are to forgive others always. Unless we forgive, God will not forgive us. We say in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Notice the "as." To explain this, Jesus gives the parable of the unforgiving servant. The king is just. The servant comes before him owing, our translation says, a huge amount. In fact, the Greek says that the servant owed the king 10,000 talents. Now, a talent, one talent, equaled 6,000 days' wages. So we are talking of a value that exceeds 60 million days of wages. That's some IOU. And this gives the story its impact. There was no way, no way that servant or any servant could pay back that debt. And being just, the king expects to recoup something. So he orders the man, his family, and all his property to be sold. As the story unfolds, however, we see that the king is not only just, he is merciful. When the servant begs the king to be patient, the king, Jesus says, is moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. And amazingly, the king lets the servant go and forgives the entire loan. The servant leaves the king's presence in complete security. And thus we see that mercy goes beyond justice. The king placed himself in the servant's place. Only in this way could the king have been moved with compassion. But the servant did not appreciate the tremendous gift the king had given him. He meets a fellow servant, as we heard, who owed him, according to the Greek text, 100 days' wages. 100 days' wages. And in his arrogance, the first servant chokes his brother, demands payment, and then has his fellow servant thrown into prison. There was no sense of compassion, no exercise of mercy. It was the servant's lack of compassion. It was the servant's lack of compassion that infuriated the king. And as we heard, the king handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. The punishment, my friends, is unimaginable. Unimaginable. Because of the scale of the debt, a magnitude of 60 million. Then Jesus concludes, "So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." You know, dear brothers and sisters, when we sin, when we in some way offend God, we contract, so to speak, a tremendous debt. This is because the seriousness of an offense depends in some degree upon the dignity of the one who is offended. And so since God, the infinitely perfect being, is of limitless dignity, it follows that the malice of an offense against God is an infinite malice. an evil without limit or measure. Now, it is true that it is the long-standing tradition of the church, based on divine revelation, to distinguish sins which are serious and therefore termed mortal, and those less so, and thus called venial. Nevertheless, venial sin is by no means a harmless negligence. Every venial sin brings punishment in its train, here or in purgatory. Every venial sin lessens a little the love of God in our hearts and weakens our resistance to temptation. And we know from experience, we all know this from experience, that carelessness about venial sins will surely pave the way for mortal sin. And mortal sin is something we must avoid at all cost. Not so much because of fear, but because of love. Because of love. When we were baptized, God united each one of our souls to himself. He purified us from the state of original sin and gave us a share in his divine life. And this was an exercise of his love. This intimate union with God reaches its fullness this side of heaven, when we receive Holy Communion. And since every bit of us belongs to God, and the whole purpose of our existence is to love God, it follows that every bit of us owes obedience to God, not only in our outward words and actions, but in our innermost thoughts and desires as well. St. Paul was saying as much in today's passage from the letter to the Romans. None of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. After baptism, the only way in which we can be separated from God, the only way that we can be separated from God, is by our own deliberate rejection of God. And that happens when, in full consciousness, deliberately and of our own free choice, we refuse God our obedience in a serious matter. Such sin is mortal. Mortal sin breaks one's relationship with God. For this reason, such sins are called mortal. They are truly death-dealing sins. Death-dealing sins. They place us in danger of forever losing God's love. They establish, to use the metaphor from the story in today's gospel, a tremendous, incalculable debt that we owe to God. However, my friends, when we recognize that we are sinners, when we turn to God with repentance and absolute trust in his mercy, and confess our sins in the sacrament of penance, then God exercises his compassion and forgives us. The words of today's psalm are true. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. God gives the repentant sinner a most wonderful gift, his mercy. He restores what had been lost, namely his friendship and divine intimacy. After receiving absolution, one leaves the confessional in complete security. Complete security. That's why there's been times in my life, and perhaps yours, when I leave the confessional and I feel like a tremendous weight has been taken off my shoulders. That's a tremendous feeling. Tremendous positive feeling. Dear friends, Jesus speaks of God's forgiveness in the context of his charge to Peter and the other disciples, and to us today, to all of us today, to be people of mercy, and particularly to be people who forgive. To do that, we must be conscious of our own need of God's mercy. And we must treasure the love God has already shown us by his forgiveness. How often God has forgiven us incalculable debts. Let us beware the oracle in today's reading from the book of Sirach. Could anyone nourish anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? Could anyone refuse mercy to another like himself? Can he seek pardon for his own sins? Yes, we must beware of the sin of anger, which often is sustained by pride. It is anger that most often prevents us from being merciful. The first thing we must do to rid ourselves of anger is to forgive the one who is its cause. Unless we forgive, our anger will remain. We will exemplify the words we heard in the first reading. Wrath and anger are hateful things. Think of this. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. The sinner hugs them tight. It is in forgiving others that we free ourselves from a self-imposed bitterness, a prison of our own making. Only in such freedom, together with God's grace, can we love as God calls us to love. As love is in an act of the will, so is forgiveness. We must decide to forgive. It must be one's free choice. And yet we all know this, sometimes we can remember the hurts, the wounds, and that can be an unpleasant aspect of our memory. And yet even this, because of God's love, becomes an opportunity. In those times of remembering the hurts, we should consciously renew our forgiveness. Forgiveness is not easy, but it is essential. It's not an option. It's not an option. As it is written, could anyone refuse mercy to another like himself? Can he seek pardon for his own sins? Dear friends, mercy goes beyond justice and perfects it. And followers of Christ are to forgive always.